The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, if you would, take your Bibles, open them again to Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, as we look at the Word of God this morning. You know, one thing about God's Word is you can mark it down that God's Word is true and it's right. And if we, anytime that I experience failure in my life, it's because I failed to follow God. And if we'll learn to follow God, you know, God's recipe will always produce good results. And it might not be good results that you think are good, but they're good results that God wanted. It's what God wants. And this morning, I want what God wants this morning. And I believe that God wants to help us. When I think about flies, I'm reminded of the story of the plagues of God that he brought upon Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like flies. Flies are nasty. They're dirty. And I would rather not have flies around me, especially when I'm eating. But as we think about the story of Egypt, in Exodus chapter number 8, we find in verse number 21, here God is bringing Moses before Pharaoh, and all the different plagues were brought forth to Pharaoh, and one of those plagues was flies. So obviously, it's a bad thing if God used them as a plague, amen? And so we see here in verse 21 in Exodus 8, here it says, if you don't do this thing, if you don't let the children of Israel go, he says, else, if they will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, upon thy servants, upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by the reason of the swarm of flies. Now look back, if you would, to the text there. As we look in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, it tells us here, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. This verse is dealing with a fly that has died in a precious ointment. You know, when I think about the ointment, ointment is brought up in the Bible. If you look through the Word of God, you'll see different places in God's Word where he talks about the ointment or the precious ointment. The ointment had great value. In the Old Testament, ointments were highly prized and extremely valuable. They were used for payment of tribute. Whenever they would make payment, they would use a lot of times these ointments, these precious ointments. In the New Testament, Judas complained that the ointment poured on Jesus might have been sold for a large sum of money. In Matthew 26 and verse 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? And by the way, that ointment that was poured on Jesus was something that was very valuable, and it was something that was given to the Lord. Why? Because they wanted to give their very best to God. And as we see here, there was some that did not like that. They thought that was a waste. Can I stop and chase a rabbit here? Can I say that when you serve God, you're going to have people that will tell you that you're wasting your life away? You know, when I went to Bible college, I was in Bible college, and we were struggling. I remembered many times where I would pay my tithe, was more than my money for my groceries. And we didn't have very much money to eat on. And I remember one of our family members was in our home, and we were struggling. And the family member said, why are you wasting your money going to Bible college? You ought to drop out. I remember him saying, stop wasting your money and go do something else. See, a lot of times when you decide to serve God and you decide to live for God and you decide to be faithful to the house of God and you decide to go soul winning and you decide to get involved in the ministries and you decide to get involved in Bible college or whatever it might be in the things of God, there are people that will look and see the things that you're doing with that precious ointment, that life that you have, and they'll say that you're wasting it away. Can I say that anything you do for God is not a waste? Amen. Hey, we live in this world down here. This is not my home. You know, Brother Jovi and I went out soul winning yesterday. We had six people come to know Christ as their Savior yesterday. And we were excited. It was so much fun. But I told Brother Jovi, I said, you know what the devil uses more than anything else in a Christian life to get him out of the work of God is discouragement. To discourage you, to get you out from serving Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? Serving God can be tough. Serving God will have his critics and will have those that will try to discourage you from doing the things for God that you ought to do. But I tell you what, you will never go wrong by placing your life in the hands of God. You'll never go wrong by serving Jesus Christ with your life and using your life. Hey, you only have one life to live. Did I tell you that I'm a grandpa? Hey, I've already lived. Mercy. I already lived half of my life. Hey, I might only have a year left. I don't know. But anyway, you know, my life is, I mean, it's going. It's going faster and faster. You know, one thing that's really hit me lately, Brother Barker, what hit me real lately here is I realize I'm getting older and life is flying by me. And I only have one chance at this thing. I don't have a second chance and a third chance. And what I do with my life, I tell you what, the most important thing I can do in my life is give it to Jesus Christ. If I give it to him, it's kind of like this. If you had $1,000 and say, I only have $1,000, I can go out and I can waste it. Go spend it. I can spend it in one day. Go out to eat, go do all kind of fun things and waste it. Or I could take that $1,000 and give it to somebody like Brother Palmore, not to give it to him, but to let him use it, to invest it into something for us because he's good with finances. And then maybe in 6 months, give us back $2,000. I would rather do that. See, the thing is, whenever you take your life and you put it in the master's hands and you give your life to God, hey, God will take that thing that you could waste away. And God says, I will take that thing and I'll make something very precious. Hey, I'll give you back more than what you've given to me. As we look at the story here, we see the value of the ointment. The ointment was very valuable. As we see here, it was poured on Christ, and they thought it was a waste. We find ointments and oils were used to anoint the priests in the Old Testament, the tabernacles, and also the furnishings in the book of Exodus. Two of the three gifts mentioned that the kings brought to baby Jesus were ointments. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Ointments were used for burials in Luke chapter 24, verse number 1, speaking of our Lord. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found that the stone was rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. But here, they brought the ointment to anoint the body of their Savior. They came to anoint his body, and it was used also for burial. Ointment was very precious. The Bible says dead flies cause the ointment, that very precious thing of the apothecary, to send forth a stinking savor. Hey, you know what? There are some things that ought to smell good. Amen. Hey, there's some things whenever I drive, I remember when I was in New Mexico, I would drive up to Lowe's, and every time I had to go up there to get some supplies, I would pull in that parking lot, get out of my car. There was a Golden Corral in the parking lot. And they had where the smoke would come out, and they had like a fan blowing it right at our parking lot out there. And that smoke they come out of that vent had like fingers, and it would be pulling me to Golden Corral. You know, that smelled pretty good. Hey, you know what? Whenever I go by a place that's cooking some barbecue, Brother McCarty's out by the street somewhere cooking barbecue, the whole town smells like barbecue. Hey, that smells good. And that ought to smell good. Hey, you know what? Ointment ought to smell good. Hey, whenever you go to the mall and they give you those little samples of little tabs, and they tell you to smell it. Imagine if they gave you a little tab smell like a skunk. You know, who would want to buy that, right? Hey, it smelled like garbage. Who would want to buy? No, they give you stuff that smells good. Ointments smell good. Ointments was made by the apothecary or the perfumer, the one that put it together. He usually created the ointment by skillfully mixing precious spices, scents, herbs, and medicinal extracts into olive oil base. The fragrance from these additions to the oil naturally attracted pesky flies. See, flies like good smelling things too. They like the smell of your food as well, don't they? And as we see here, the ointment was made, and the things that it was made with made it smell very good. It attracted flies, but it smelled very good. You know, your life is to be that precious ointment. Hey, you know, it's a recipe of many things that make you smell good before God. Amen. Hey, we are to be that ointment or that thing that smells good before God. God is the one who's the apothecary or the pharmacist in our life. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 through 21, we read the phrase that is often found in the Bible, which is sweet savor, sweet savor. It says, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took a very clean beast and a very clean fowl and offered a burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. What is it saying there? God smelt something that smelt good. Hey, Christian. Hey, believer, if you're born again this morning, you ought to have a life that smells good before God. Hey, God wants to look down and he wants to say, hey, I'm proud of my son. I'm proud of my daughter. Hey, you make me proud. You know, every parent wants to be proud of their children. We have a Heavenly Father that wants to be proud. Hey, God wants to look down. You know, it's great, man. Isn't it great when we walk in the house? Before you open that doorknob, you can smell dinner cooking. Isn't that a good smell? Amen. You know, God's the same way. Hey, God wants to look down on the house of God, which is this church here. And there's a lot of churches in the Dallas area that are called churches. And I guarantee you, there's not a good smell coming off of some of those churches. They're doing things for their own sake. They're doing things for pleasure. They're doing things to make them feel good. They're doing things in the church that makes them feel justified how they are without changing anything. But God looks down and God says, I want a church that's willing to change whatever they need to change to smell right before me. Hey, God is smelling down here to this church. And I guarantee you, God smells good things. He smells bus ministries. He smells other ministries started. He smells people getting saved. He senses that things are happening here that are good things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, we see here, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. If you're born again, you're to be a precious ointment that sends forth a sweet smell before God's nostrils. You know, there's a lot of Christians today that are living their life for themselves. They're doing the things that they want to do. They want to serve themselves. I want to be happy. I want to do what makes me feel good. I don't want to serve God. You know, one thing that I've realized, and you know, I'm 44 years old. I'm still a young guy, but you know, I'm old enough to know that over the years, I've seen a lot of changes. One thing, when I was a teenager, young people, you listen to me. When I was a teenager, the in thing, the cool thing, the thing to do as a teenager was to surrender to the Lord, to surrender to the ministry, to serve Christ with your life. You know, and for me as a teenager, everyone wanted to do it. As a teenager, that was the thing to do. They had great revival meetings for teenagers, and teenagers are surrendering to preach and surrendering to go into the ministry and the missionaries and all these things for God. But I don't know what has happened over the years. It seems like young people are drifting away from surrendering to God, drifting away from doing the things that God would have them to do. You know, I have no problem with young people to be a young person being a doctor or being a lawyer or being a policeman if that's what God called you to do. But what you ought to desire is, hey, God, hey, I want to preach. Hey, God, I want to be a missionary. Hey, God, I want to serve you in the full-time ministry. I would rather serve God in the full-time ministry than to be out in the world any day. And you know, you ought to hunger for that, young people. And let me just say also, not just for young people, but for all of us, we ought to hunger to serve God. There ought to be a hunger that burns within us to say, God, I want to serve you in my life. Lord, I want to live for you. And Lord, if I could serve you every single day of my life and do for you, God, what you have me do, that would make me happy. That ought to be our prayer this morning. If you're born again, you ought to be a precious ointment that sends forth a sweet smell before God's nostrils. Now, here's some areas that we should be a sweet-smelling ointment. Let me say quickly, our relationship with God should have a sweet smell. How's your relationship with God this morning? Are you walking with God? Hey, do you let God lead your life? Are you asking God to watch every step as you take it? God, would you help me make the right steps in my life? Lord, lead my life. God, I give you my life. Lord, show me the way. Lord, show me what to do. God, lead my life. Or is our prayer consist of, God, get out of the way. God, don't talk to me right now. God, can you just leave me alone right now? I got something else I want to do. Hey, I'm saying this morning, as a born-again Christian, our life ought to be a life that brings forth a sweet smell to the nostrils of God, where God says, hey, we have a walk together. We have a relationship together. I love you. I know you. You're my child. You love me. Our relationship with God should be a sweet smell. Can I say, secondly, our relationship with the people of God should present itself as a sweet ointment. Hey, how's your relationship with other people in the church? How's your relationship with people that are other believers? Are you getting along with your brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ? Do you get along with others, or do you get angry at other people and you get bitter at other people and you basically stop talking to certain people and you get away from certain people? I just can't stand being around them. Well, guess what? Someday you're going to be around them for all eternity. So you better start getting used to being around them right now. Hey, learn to get along. Learn to do what's right. Learn to do the things that God has called you to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, if there's anything between you and someone else, God says, hey, that will hinder your prayers before me. Why? God says that stinks in my nostrils. You need to love one another. Let me say this morning, learn to love one another. Learn to get along. Hey, if somebody has done you, well, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, somebody owes me money in this church, and I'm just upset at them, and they haven't paid me back. And Brother Butler, how do I deal with that? I can fix that real quick. Forgive them of the debt. Tell them they're forgiven. That fixed it right there and then. Well, I just can't do that. Well, you should have thought about that before you did that. Hey, don't let money, when it comes to relationship, hurt your relationship with other people. Hey, learn to love and to forgive. By the way, if you owe him the money, pay him the money. Fix the problem. Our relationship with people of God should present itself as sweet ointment. Let me say number three, our relationship with our spouse should bring forth a sweet-smelling ointment. You know, the sad truth is, if you're not right with your wife, you're not right with God. Well, I just don't see it that way, Brother Butler. Well, you can be wrong if you want, but it's true. Do you know, ladies, that if your relationship with your husband is not right, if you're, well, I'm just not talking to him. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down upon thy wrath. If you're still not talking to him, and it's been a couple of days, that, I tell you what, that couple of days of silent treatment is not good. And God knows it's not good. You know what? God says you're to get along with one another. The Bible says you're to submit one to another. Hey, let me say this morning, if your relationship with your spouse is not right, if you're not getting along with your wife this morning, if you're not getting along with your husband this morning, if your relationship is broken, and I know this for me, my wife and I, we've been married 23 years, and it hasn't always been grand. We've had tough days as well as great days. But I'm going to tell you, in those tough days, if my wife wasn't willing to forgive and talk to me again, it made it very hard for me to do the things I needed to do. Now, if you were mad at me, I could deal with that. But if my wife's mad at me, that's a totally different thing. And why don't we learn to decide as in a marriage to get along? Hey, ladies, it doesn't matter what's happened. You learn, find a way to build back that relationship. Hey, men, no matter what's happened in your marriage, find a way to fix back that relationship and build that. Why? Because that thing, that marriage that you have, if it's broken, it brings forth a stinking savor before the nostrils of God. God is looking down and God says, I want to smell something good in your marriage. And the only way I'm going to smell something good is you got to get along. You got to love one another. Let me say also, not only our relationship with God should have a sweet smell, and not only our relationship with one another should have a sweet smell before God, and not only our relationship with our spouse should bring forth a sweet smell before God, but let me say also, our relationship with the man of God should be known as a sweet-smelling ointment. Well, you know what? I go to that church, and I like the people, but I can't stand the preacher. Well, you know what? Then you can't stand God either, because that's God's man. Hey, you know, God put the man that belongs in this pulpit here. God put our preacher in this church right here. You know what? We have a great man of God. And, you know, I remember I was in a different church, and one of my family members called me. They didn't like the pastor. And I was working for this preacher, my pastor, the preacher there, and they called me, and they say, I know you don't want to hear this. It ought to come to the point in your life where people say, I know you don't want to hear this, because they ought to know you don't want to hear it. And they called me and said, I know you don't want to hear this about your preacher, but I need to tell you. Well, you know, Brother Butler, they call me and tell me, and I just feel bad telling them I don't want to listen to it. Well, why do you sit there and listen to it? You know what I did? I took the phone and I went like this and I held it over here and I could hear, you know, Snoopy in the teacher. Wah, 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 wah. I heard that. When it got silent, I brought it back, Brother Davis. I listened. They said, what do you think? And I said, I think we ought to pray about it. I knew you would say that. You know, why don't we decide this morning that our relationship with our man of God ought to be right? Amen. If you have anything against our pastor, if your heart is not right with your man of God, if your heart's not right with the pastor of this church, you make it right. Why? Because God says if you have anything ought against one another, he says, hey, you got something against me. Get right with your man of God. Don't let anything, whatever, well, he just hurt my feelings, or he didn't give me the attention I needed, or he didn't call me, or he didn't text me. My feelings are hurt. Get over it. Why don't you just decide, instead of waiting for him to do something for you, you start doing something for him. You love your man of God. You serve your man of God. You text your man of God. You call your man, and don't expect it back. You just do it for him. You know, if pastor could, man, I tell you what, if he could return every call, every text, it would take forever. He would never be able to pastor a church. But you know what? You and I could do that for him. Hey, we could call him. Hey, you shouldn't wait for him to ask you to do something. You should go to him and say, preacher, can I do something? Hey, I want to serve here in the ministry. Let's never cause trouble for the pastor. Let us never cause trouble for the man of God. Why? Because that becomes a stinking savor before the nostrils of God. Let us have a right relationship with the man of God. As in all cases, if something that is good as an ointment smells bad. You say, well, this ointment smells bad. It shouldn't smell bad. It smells bad. You can mark it down. Something got in that ointment and died. Amen. Hey, something got in your... Well, you know what? I'm just bitter. Well, something got in your life and died. Amen. Hey, there's something that used to be there that is not there any longer. Hey, you know, you used to smell good before God and before the people of God, and now you stink a little bit. Hey, you know what? Maybe there's something that's died in your life that you ought to revive. You ought to get the thing out of you. It's a funny story. My dad grew up on a farm. I was talking to my dad yesterday about it. I wanted to make sure I got the story correct, because every time I preach and my dad would listen to the sermons I get to preach here. And whenever I preach, if I tell a story about my dad, he always call me and correct me and say, you told it wrong. That's not how it went. So I called him yesterday. I wanted to make sure I got the story right this time. And so I said, Dad, tell me about the story about the well. My dad said he was on a farm, grew up on a farm, and he's in Vermont. And there they had a well. They would get the drinking water from this well. And he said that one day they started drinking the water from the faucet that came from the well. And it started tasting weird. And he couldn't understand why it tasted weird. And, you know, day after day, it just got a little worse and a little worse. Can I help you out? If it's getting a little worse and a little worse, maybe I ought to fix it right away. Hey, go find out why. Don't keep waiting, right? But anyway, I probably got that story wrong. But, you know, a little worse. Till finally, my dad said they went out to the well. They popped the lid off the well. And in the well, there was they call them woodchucks up in Vermont. But it's a groundhog. There was a dead groundhog inside the well floating around, all right, decomposing in this well. And they were drinking the water. And my dad said, hey, the water tasted bad. It didn't taste right. It tasted weird. It had a different taste to it. He didn't know what it was. And when I went out there, hey, guess what? The reason the water's changing a little bit, the reason it don't taste right, the reason it doesn't have that good taste anymore, something got in it and died. You know, when I think about that, I think about decay and stench. Not only did the flies corrupt the ointment by their simple presence, but their decaying bodies caused the ointment to spoil and to stink. Flies are quite commonly used as a symbol of decay, of corruption, of ruin. Wherever there are flies, you can mark it down, there's sure ruin to follow. There's something that's going bad. There's something that's spoiling. There's something that's rotting. Why don't you decide this morning in your life to say, hey, I want to be a precious ointment before the nostrils of God. Amen. Well, I want to serve God, but I'm not going to get along with my brother in Christ. Well, I want to serve God, but I'm not going to get along with my wife. I'm just not going to talk to her. I'm not going to talk to my husband. Well, I'm just not going to get along with the preacher, but I'm going to, I get along with God, but I don't get along with them. God says, you know, if you don't get along with those people, he says, if you've done this unto one of mine, you've done it unto me. God says, I take it very personal. And why don't we decide this morning to say, God, am I that ointment that comes before you that smells good? And Lord, it smells great. Or God, does it stink before you? Lord, am I a Christian that has a Christian life, Lord, that has become stagnant and stale and stinky? And God, what is it in my life, God? Point it out. God says, there it is. It's that dead fly right there. You know, you keep going around the dead fly, getting that ointment, putting it on, and going around that dead fly. He said, what y'all do is take that dead fly and get it out of here. It's stinking up the ointment. It's ruining the ointment. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. When dealing with our life, there are a few things we must consider. Is God our apothecary? Is God the one that puts that ointment together in our life? Hey, if God's in charge, guess what? You're going to smell good. If God's in charge, you're going to have a good life. You're going to have a blessed life. You're going to have I don't know about you, but I have a great life. I have a wonderful wife. I have wonderful children. I have a wonderful ministry here. Great friends. I have a great life. You know, and I feel good every day, getting up every day, knowing that God loves me and I love God. You know, am I perfect? No. I make mistakes. But you know what? Lord, as the Lord knows right now, me and God right now are right before one. I mean, he's right always with me, but I'm right with God this morning. I love God and I want to serve God. And, but the thing is God your apothecary? Is he the one that's in control of your life? Have you given God, God, get back, God, this is my ointment. This is my life. God says, all I want to do is help you get that dead fly out of there. Hey, I want to help you make your life a little better. Hey, I want to make your marriage a little better. Hey, I want to bring you out of these problems you're having. Is there any flies in your lives that have caused God's disapproval? Have you looked in your life and said, well, you know what? You know, there's been many a times where I was sitting in church. And I'll sit there and I was far from God in my heart. I wouldn't even pray because I knew if I prayed, I had to get right with God. And as a Christian, you try to see how far you can go with things and see how long God will let you go. And if you're a Christian and if you are saved, God won't let you go very, very far. Man, he'll be smacking you side of the head pretty quick. But, you know, I would sit in church, backslidden, listen to the preacher, and look like a great Christian. It's easy to do that. But only you, as a Christian, know if there's things in your life that ought not be there. Only you know that if there's things in your life that's causing it to stink before God. And you say, Brother Butler, yes, I see that. My relationship with God isn't right. My relationship with my wife isn't right. My relationship with people aren't right. My relationship with the husband's not right. I don't know what it is. I tell you what, if you get a hold of God, get in the Word of God, get counsel, hey, you know, that dead fly would be found. Wherever it might be, it could be taken out and cause that ointment to smell right again. Is there any flies in your lives that cause others around us to notice the decay? It's funny how someone can say, well, I'm okay. You know, you get someone that's a drunk. I mean, they're just a drunk. Well, I'm fine how I am. I could change like that. You know, and you think you're all right, but everybody else around you says you're not all right. Your life's a mess. Your life's a ruin. Well, my marriage is fine. And have you ever asked your wife that? Have you ever sat down and said, honey, do you think our marriage is fine? You know, Brother Butler, that's opened a can of worms. But, you know, think about it. A lot of times we look at ourselves and say, man, I'm okay how I am. You know, I went to work a couple of days ago, and I met my wife for lunch. My wife's like, you forgot to shave. I'm like, oh, I did. And I get up pretty early, and I forgot to shave that morning. You know what? If I would just stopped and look in the mirror and examine, I would have realized I didn't shave that morning. You know, why don't we stop and look in the mirror of God and say, God, is there anything in my life that's not right? God, is there something in my life that's causing your disapproval? I don't want God to keep blessings out of my life. And I don't want God to take and discipline me through things I love the most to get me right with him. God, I want to stay right with you. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about fly control. How do you get rid of the flies out of your life? Let me say quickly. Number one, become familiar with what they look like. Hey, become familiar with the things that come in your life that cause you to get away from God. Hey, be familiar with those things that come in your life that cause you to break relationships with people that you love. We must open our eyes to the putrid flies that encamp us all around. Let me say these flies. What are these flies? I'm talking about the fly of pride. Psalms 2, verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. We get proud and we say, well, I'll just make my decisions. The preacher, Pastor Wells, he preached this, but I just don't agree. Well, you just disagreed with God's word because he preached the word of God. You know, we get these flies in our life and people walk around with pride. Well, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like one of those that walk forward at the altar. I'm glad I got my life right. Look at them, Lord. God says, that's pride. And God says, that fly is stinking up your life. Let me say, the fly of pride causes the ointment to stink. Let me say also the fly of bitterness. Oh, I tell you what, that fly of bitterness stinks pretty bad. Hey, I've been there. I've had a fly of bitterness in my ointment. And it made my life stink pretty bad. I thought I was okay until people around me said, you know what, we can't stand being around you anymore. It stinks so bad. Man, I tell you, I was just so bitter. I didn't even realize how bitter I was. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Hey, you know what? Maybe it's that little fly that was flying around that you kept batting it off. Well, I'm not going to get bitter. You know, let me tell you the story that happened to me, but I'm not going to get bitter over it. I'm just going to tell you about it. And we keep talking about it. We keep talking about it. Eventually, we miss the fly, and it lands on our ointment. And all of a sudden, we don't even realize, and we're still flinging that fly, but it already landed on the ointment. It's already in our heart, that bitterness. And we're there. We're trying to, well, I'm going to keep that bitterness away. By the time you know it, that fly starts to die and rot and stink. And people around you say, I can't stand being around you. You're so bitter. No. I'm batting that fly of bitterness. Look. No, you don't realize it. It's already landed on your heart, and it's dead, and it stinks. Why don't we recognize the flies of our life that cause the ointment to stink, the fly of pride, the fly of bitterness? It's so easy to get bitter at people. They've done, well, if they did to you what they did to me, you'd be bitter also. Well, if they did to you what they did to me, you'd be bitter too. But I'm not going to let that cause me to be bitter. You know what? Bitterness only hurts me. It doesn't hurt them at all. You know, you can't pay people back by being bitter at them. That doesn't pay them back. They're just, well, you know, I'm still going to sleep. I'm going to still go out to eat. You know, there have been people bitter at me. I didn't even realize they're bitter at me. It only hurts the one that's bitter. You can't live your life in bitterness. There's also another fly, a fly of complaint. Always complaining. Well, I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right. Why is this happening? Why did this happen? You know, it's just, why they ask them and not ask that person? And that fly of complaint or the fly of disobedience, not obeying God or not obeying the man of God or not obeying the parents, the children, or not obeying authority. Well, I just don't feel like I have to obey them. That's your first problem because you're feeling into things. Why don't you go ahead and just do what's right? Amen. You know, there's nothing wrong with just obeying. Amen. Nothing wrong with just submitting to the things of God. The fly of criticism. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I just don't agree on this one thing. You know, guess what? There's things about you that people don't agree on either. We all have things we don't agree on. It's like Pastor says all the time, I don't agree with myself half of the time. But why don't we just stop criticizing? Why don't you stop saying things that you shouldn't be saying about the men of God, the man of God, or the people of God, or your spouse, or friends, and being critical of them? Why don't you decide to love them and be the kind of Christian you ought to be? Let me say also the fly of complaint, the fly of disobedience, the fly of criticism. Now, how do you get rid of these flies out of your life? Number one, be familiar with how they look, what they look like. Number two, no matter how small the fly is, don't allow it to land on your ointment. No matter how small that thing might be, don't let it get in your heart. Keep it out of your heart. Whatever it might be, that bitterness, that anger, that hatred, that criticism, that gossip, that feelings between your spouse and you, whatever it might be, no matter how small it is, keep it out. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15 says, the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's the little thing. You know, it's usually not the big things. It's the little things that creep in. You know, there are Christians today that are out of church. It started with them getting bitter about something. They got bitter at God. God wasn't fair. God, why'd you do this to me? Lord, I'm serving you, God, and I'm living for you, God, and I'm sacrificing. God says, wait a minute. Are you doing it for me or doing it for you? You know, I went to a camp meeting. And you hear stories of camp meetings. I heard stories as a teenager. Man, if you give to the offerings, God's going to bless you in a big way. Well, as a teenager, I'm thinking God's going to bless me, double my money. You know, I'm for doubling the money, right? So I take my $10 for the Snack Shack all week and put that in the offering on Monday. What did I do? The rest of the whole week, I was looking for the $20. And you know, I never found them, you know. And I spent the whole week trying to find $20. And God's like, you know what? Why don't you decide just to give to me because it's right to do? Hey, if God told you to do something, you just do it. And don't allow things in your life. Hey, it's not fair. These things come in my life, and I didn't ask for that. And Lord, why'd you bring this in my life? It's not fair. God said, don't let that thing stick in your heart. Hey, keep it away. You know, I probably should have got some fly swatters and gave them out to everybody. So you can swat those flies coming in your life. And don't let those things land. Let me say, no matter how small the fly is, don't let it land on your ointment. Number three, and this one here, if you're not careful, this could happen to you. Number three, don't get used to the flies. Don't get used to them. You know, here we don't have a lot of flies. If you have one fly in your house, man, you're chasing it all over the house. Man, get that fly, right? Where'd it go? You know, I lived in New Mexico. I lived in a dairy town. Flies there were, I mean, they were like dirt over there. I mean, we just live with it. I mean, we would have fellowships at our church. We would have to cover all our food. And in order to know what's underneath that covering of that saran wrap, you had to go like this to move the flies off to see the food underneath it. And then you scoop it and you cover it back up. I mean, we swallow more flies than you have in the state of Texas. I mean, it's bad over there. But, you know, when I first moved to New Mexico, man, we got like five flies in our house. And, man, we're chasing them out, killing them all. By the time I moved, there was like 50 flies. Man, they had their own bedrooms in our house. I mean, you get used to it. It gets to a point that it's like, you know, you can't beat them, so join them, right? But if you're not careful in your Christian life, these little things in your life that you know is not right, I'm going to keep that out. Eventually, if you're not careful, you get used to it. You get used to being bitter. You get used to fighting with your spouse. You get used to talking bad about the preacher. You get used to being unfaithful to God. You get used to not going to church. If you're not careful, you'll let those flies come in your life and you get used to them and you'll let them get in there. Let me say also, number four, let the apothecary, who is God, work on your life every day. Hey, he wants to make that ointment smell good. Don't wait till that fly is rotted. As soon as it lands, say, God, look, there's a fly in the ointment. God says, hang on, let me help you out here. Let's get it out and let it fly away. Get it out of here. We're not going to let it die. We're not going to let it rot in that ointment. Let the apothecary, who is God, to work on your life every day. Ecclesiastes 10:1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. Notice the apothecary owns the ointment. It's his ointment. God says that your life belongs to me. And God says the flies that landed in your life that belongs to me stinks before me. It's supposed to smell good for me. And you're a Christian life, you ought to smell good before God. You ought to say, God, everything I do is for you. It's not for me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I read about a story. There was a college campus, and there was two dormitories. They were located. There was like a valley in between them, and there was up on the hill was their water tower, which gave all the water for the dormitories. And the guy's dorms was on one side of the hill, and the lady's dorm was on the other side of the hill. One day, the guys got up to take showers that morning to get going, got in the showers and went to turn them on. There was no water. The water was off in those showers. They couldn't understand what happened. They thought the girls were pranking on them and turned off their water. So they ran down to where the girls' dorms were at, and they got one of the counselors, and they said, hey, you need to find out about these girls here because we think they were pranking us. And they turned off our water. So the dorm supervisor went down to the girls' dorm. Come to find out, the girls' dorm water was turned off as well. What's going on? So they called the maintenance men out, and they said, for some reason, our water's not working. So the maintenance men went in there and started going through the pipes. There was no water coming out the pipe. They followed the pipe all the way up to the water tower. From the water tower, there was no water coming out. They couldn't understand it. They got inside the water tower, and when they opened up the water tower, there in the water tower, they found a bullfrog stuck in the pipe. He got sucked in, and he was stuck on that pipe. And they're like, how did this bullfrog get inside of this water tower? That's weird. There's no big opening at all. Guess what happened? That bullfrog got in there as a tadpole. When that water was put in there, he was a little tiny tadpole, and he grew, and he grew, and he grew to a big old toad, big old bullfrog. And he got sucked up. He was swimming around in there, having a good old time. And everybody's drinking that water, but he's swimming around, having a good old time, having a fun time. And he got sucked up in that pipe, and he plugged up the pipe. You know, as a Christian, if you're not careful, you'll let those little things come in your life. Well, it's just a small thing. I'm just going to be upset just for today. I'll get over it tomorrow. I'm just gonna criticize a little today, but I'll ask God to forgive me tomorrow. But if you're not careful, that little tadpole will turn into a big old bullfrog, and that big old bullfrog will clog up that pipe. They could not understand how this bullfrog came in, but as a tadpole, he came in and he cut off the water supply to the whole campus. So many times, something may seem to us only as a small little incident, a little mistake, a minor infraction, a short lapse of judgment, a monetary loss of control. In time, if not removed, this little sin will grow, and before we know it, it will flow. The flow of the living water into our lives has been choked off. Our relationship with God will become stale and stagnant. This morning, let us confess and let God purify us today so that we might experience his presence, his fragrance in our life. How is it for you this morning? Are you an ointment that smells good before God? Can you say, God, I tell you what, I know I smell good before you. Lord, I lift up holy hands. Lord, my hands, there's nothing in my hands. Between me and you, God, there's nothing. Lord, I smell good. Or is there something in your life that's causing it to stink? Maybe this morning we need to get that right with God. Come before God and say, God, those flies in my life, that's landed in my life, I've left them there. Man, I tell you what, they're adding up. More flies, more flies, more flies. They're rotting, they're stinking. And God, I'm getting to the point I can't stand it any longer. God says, let me help you out. I can get those flies out and I can restore your life again. Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.